My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to another episode of Pixels and Polygons. This week, I have a new guest. So, brand new person alert. They introduce themselves in the episode, so I am not going to reveal it here. You'll just hear who they are and a little bit about them once the episode starts. So you can skip ahead and jump right into that if you'd like. We talk about what game got us to a competitive level. Is there a game that we've got a competitive drive for, and what about it and why? It was an interesting conversation, as it's not a game I've personally been familiar with, so it was kind of more of like an interview with somebody who kind of competed at a higher level and in the fighting game community and everything. So kind of cool to have some dialogue and a little bit of a different episode. So new voice, new topic, is the first time we've actually had a conversation around this thread, so this has been fun. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Restocked books on pixelsandpolygons.net. You can get both Retro Game Zine issue 1 and 2. Orders for 3 and 4 are coming in the next couple of weeks here. Kickstarter was just wrapped there a couple of weeks back. So new issues will be available on the website as well each month. Before too long, you'll see those there. And then the 32-bit library soft covers, volume 1 through 4, restocked and up on the website as well. So take a look there. You can get all of them digitally on my Patreon page, patreon.com/Darren Hupke. You can see some original writing. I'll occasionally post some, one-off article. I've been doing some book reviews for some of the other video game books I've been reading. Miscellaneous things there. Free to follow along, kind of see progress updates for the stuff I'm working on and some original writing. And there is a paid tier that helps support me doing all these things that I've been doing. And that gets you a postcard of the month, a review of a game with a big screenshot on one side of the postcard, and on the back side, a little written review. So it's the shortest and smallest current video game periodical in the world, assuming just based on knowledge of my limited worldview and everything. I don't know if there actually is somebody else doing something kind of random and cool and maybe smaller than this. But until I find out otherwise, I'm claiming that. The first year of I'm almost about a year into this show, so I've got an anniversary episode planned. I've got Luis and Aiden coming back on to have a cool conversation about RPGs and the genre and our love for it. It's my favorite genre, and Luis called us out on Blue Sky a couple weeks back, and so we put it on the calendar, and that's going to be a fun episode. It'll be I think I'm gonna have it be episode 50. There were 2 weeks where I just outright skipped it this year, so technically this would be the 52nd week, but it'll be episode 50. Doesn't matter. I think 50s are more round number. It's my show. I'll do what I want. But you'll have that episode. The special episode will be released then. That'll be the anniversary celebration giant. I think it's going to be a long episode. I think it's an hour, hour and a half or so. It's more than an hour, yeah. But that'll be fun. A longer form thing, just kind of celebrate a year of the show. That's all I got for you otherwise. Again, pixelsandpolygons.net, patreon.com/Darren Hupke. Follow me on Blue Sky at darrenhupke.bsky.social or at pixelsandpolygons.net for that direct account. And otherwise, enjoy your week. Keep playing games, have fun, be good to each other, be good to the world, and we'll see you next week. Bye. All right. Welcome to a new episode of the show. I've really put a lot of spaces between all the words there. I'm really trying to pad out the episode length here. I'm just excited because we've got a new guest. So this is the, it's been a little bit since we've had a new voice on the show. So I will give a moment to my guest to introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about themselves before we get into the this or that, the icebreakers in the main episode itself. So secret and brand new guest, how about you introduce yourself, tell us a little about yourself and what you love about what games and everything.
Hi, my name is Idolism J. I come from a different couple parts of town, depending on where you might know me from. I am a writer for supercombo.gg. I am a YouTube video essayist on youtube.com/IdolismJ. And I am a longtime member of the fighting game community. I have been affectionately referred to as a B-level celebrity, so I'll take that. And you might know me for going internationally viral back in 2020 when I posted a picture of myself wearing a Fila crop top that didn't have an undershirt and it took off like wildfire. I still get fan art of that to this day, and I'll appreciate it.
Well, the episode topic we're going to talk about is around a game we've gotten competitive with. So I'm excited to hear about the game you picked and kind of go there. I don't think I've had a diehard like FGC like person on the show at all at this point. So it's just different perspectives. I mean, obviously you're going to have a different attachment and a different association, different love for games. And so it'll be fun just to kind of chat.
Yeah, I promise to be as insufferable as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we have come across each other just via Blue Sky, and I mean, as much as it was to, you know, a dark time to like, you know, jump ship from Twitter because of all the grossness going on in the world and everything, since joining Blue Sky and just finding folks and like-minded, like, you know, video game players and just people to kind of interact with, it's just been fun, and somehow got in the orbit to follow you, and then we've kind of chatted back and forth, and then we also have both fallen into the Flashback 64 orbit, which again, yeah. Big thanks to for those that crew. And so yeah, now we're just in behind the scenes, we're internet friends, and we have this really cool, like, super secret, like, thread. Just kind of get to chat with a small group of folks.
Yeah,
and so
we're in the Blue Sky Podcast and Illuminati Discord group chat. I almost said Illuminati, which like really gives away the Midwestern accent. I've tried so hard to fix over the years, but yeah, once when I got to Blue Sky, it was really nice to like to almost rebrand in a way, because the fighting game people hadn't made the migration over yet because video wasn't on Blue Sky yet, and being able to post clips of like setups or mix-ups or combos is crucial. It was so crucial. So there was a really long time before fighting game people decided to come over to the platform, and in that time I was able to kind of like reset and rebrand and get back in touch with my regular like gaming and retro gaming roots, and I fell into the circles of a lot of the retro gaming people and podcasts on that site in the early days, notably Flashback 64. Again, we got to give up to the props to the big ones at top. Mm-hmm. So it's been really nice because I am aging out in a way from like fighting games in those so far that I no longer travel across the country to compete in them. But in that time, I've been able to shore it up with getting back in touch with a lot of my general gaming, because fighting games took up a lot of time previous.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about, like, getting competitive isn't just, like, you know, playing it for 4 or 5 hours and then, like, now suddenly you're good. Like, it is a regiment you probably have to go through to learn and master things. So
it's like any sport. It's just like any sport.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's hit you with a this or that. Let's see. Let's feel you out. Let's find out the type of person you are here. Let's go arcade or console.
Oh, damn it. Arcade, because that's where the best fighting games were.
Okay. Fox or Falco?
Fox, because I'm a sweat.
PlayStation or Nintendo 64?
Ouch. Can I plead the fifth? I was a Nintendo 64 kid, you know, opened it like Christmas 1998 or whatever. And I still have a lot of affection for that console, but over time, it's just impossible to deny that the PlayStation's one of the greatest consoles ever. And I really, really love that thing. So it's like asking me which of my two children I would love more. But one of them has better grades. So I'll go PlayStation.
Guns or knives?
Knives.
Okay. And pixels or polygons?
Gonna have to go pixels on that one. Gonna have to go pixels. Yeah. Nothing gets me as excited as like a really good piece of pixel art.
Yeah, I mean it's true. I mean I love the old PS1 like aesthetic. I love seeing like janky polygons. Like it does give me like nostalgia and also to see those things, but just some rad pixel art and all that stuff, or like really nice like looking like sprites, even like taking modern characters and things and making pixel art versions of them is always cool. So yeah. You can't beat that.
It's hard not to like relate everything to fighting games, but like a Capcom versus pixel art sheet is so buttery smooth and crispy. It's they're just some of the best in the business when they were doing it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that is our this or that opening to kind of warm you up, to get you hit in the head with the icebreaker. So this is a new question I've come up with. You're the first person I'm going to ask this one to.
Oh no.
It's a two-parter, but tell me, what is one of your favorite games? This might sound easy. This might sound simple. This might sound like a typical icebreaker, but what is one of your favorite games?
I think I know where you could go with this, but I'll still answer it anyways. Skies of Arcadia for the Dreamcast.
Okay. Now give it a new title. You can't use any of the old words, and you still have to capture the essence of the game.
Yeah, I could cheat and just go with the Japanese name, Eternal Arcadia. Oh, God. Okay. It's a game. It's like a swashbuckling game of like, you know, seafaring, skyfaring adventure. So my brain wants to say something along the lines of like skyfaring freedom. And that doesn't really get everything across, but that has like a really nice mouthfeel to it. Skyfaring freedom. So I'll go with that.
Okay.
Damn, you got me good with that one, Darren. Jeez.
I thought of that one. I mean, when I thought of that question, I was like, this could be fun. Like, I mean, this could be fun. Make somebody like, I mean, a game that you love, you probably like, it's just that title, it's got an impact and everything. And if it was not that name, what would you call it? Like, I'm not prepared to answer that question.
It's like one of those things where like the Japanese title almost doesn't make sense. Eternal Arcadia. Like, is there really anything eternal about it? So it was like localized to Skies of Arcadia because it's a game about flying through the skies. That's so much easier. And in that moment, I was like, if I was a Japanese dev, I'd just pick a really bitchin' word to throw in there. But I guess I don't have that right now.
All right. Well, you passed the icebreaker test. Those are always designed. I like it when people have to sweat for those. So thank you. But again, like I mentioned at the top, for the main episode here, we want to answer the question, what is a game you've gotten competitive with? And obviously this will kind of fork into a whole conversation about it, but, what's a game you've gotten competitive with? How much did you end up like playing? Like, you know, how much time was invested in that? And was there like a go-to like character or weapon or mode? I'm sure asking someone like you, like, you know, there's going to be a lot to that. I'd love to hear like, it doesn't have to maybe be the first game or your, whatever, but what is a game that, you'll want to share then that you've gotten competitive with?
I might as well just go like, you know, for the neck and do the most amount of bragging. And so I'll go with the Undernight Inbirth series because that's the one I was the best at.
Mm. How long ago was that released? When was the original release for that?
The original release that came to America would have been 2014 or 2013. Somewhere within that zone, that would have been, because there's a number of releases for this game. I think very much along the same like Street Fighter 2 and its offshoots in terms of the like Championship Edition, Super Turbo, that kind of thing. The original Under Night in Birth, I think, was earlier in the 2010s. That was a Japan-only game. It never came to America. Good thing for it, because that game kind of stank. And then Under Night in Birth, EXE Late, is the game that first came to America. I want to say it's 2014. And that is when I started playing, when it first arrived. And I've been... I was playing pretty much every version of that game since. I can only barely remember them for their like truncated names. So it was like EL, EXE Late. ST is the one after that, and I can't even think of what that is. I think it's EXE. It might just be EXE Late ST. Then there's Clear, which is the one after that. I didn't play very much of that one because that happened during pandemic times. And then currently they're on Under Night in Birth 2. This something or other, SYS. I literally had the page up. I just call it Under Night in Birth 2. Yes, system lists.
It appears, yeah, like it has a Street Fighter formula there. I mean, obviously, like, if we're at Under Night in Birth 2, after all of those other titles, those were just kind of iterating and improving upon just, like, that original core one, and this is the first true sequel, or is this still kind of feel...
Yeah, it still pretty much feels like the same game. You know, the graphics are all the same, stages are the same. This is, I think, the first, like, more major mechanical upheaval, but even then, it still plays very much like the same game. I would not designate this to its own series yet. It's still, at its core, Under Night.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, this is not one I'm super familiar with. Like, I have seen some of it in motion and everything. I think I've seen, like, clips of it, somewhere, but yeah, tell me a little bit, like, what was it then that, what was the appeal for you that got you into this game here? Like, was there was it the developer did it, the visual style, like, what is it about this one that, like, kind of jumped out to you?
Yeah, so the thing that really drew me to this game was the developer, which is a company called French Bread, and they were They started off as like a smaller doujin fighting game company that kind of made smaller releases, but they struck it big when they were the ones who made the fighting game adaptation of Tsukihime called Melty Blood. And Melty Blood was real popular, you know, within its target market, we'll say. But that game, a lot of people have a lot of affection for that. So when Under Night was announced, this was their big chance to make their own original work. And a lot of people who followed Melty Blood were very excited at the idea of, like, oh crap, here we go. French Bread gets to make their own game now, in a sense.
Okay, and what system did you originally play it on?
Originally, this would have been starting on PS3. I don't even think there was an Xbox 360 version at the time. And the series has upgraded, as the consoles do, to PS4. I don't know if there's a PS5 version. I'm almost certain no one would play a PS5 version because it would just be easier to stay on PS4 at this point. There does not need to be a upgrade to PS5. And you can play it on PC, but for like offline play, it would be standardized as being played on PS4, to my knowledge, right now. Although you can do PS5 because of the PS5 backcompat to PS4.
So when did you make the mental choice to, like, get competitive with it then? I mean, obviously, like, you know, like, how much time, like, did you start seeing yourself investing, and, like, what, like, yeah, tell me that story then on getting competitive with it.
Yeah, at when I pick up any fighting game, the idea is to be competitive with it because I just don't know another way of doing it at this point. So, like, the list of games I have been competitive at is pretty large, but the ones that I stick with and the ones that I, like, maintain over the years are on the smaller side. So it's not like there was ever a point where I said, oh, this is what I'm going to take seriously. It's more that the initial buzz of, like, picking up that game for the first time, and when everyone's excited and trying to play it and, like, figuring it out and, like, really, really just, like, wrapped up in the new game smell, so to speak, that high never went away is probably how I describe it. That's what keeps you going. Like, you enter with the idea of like, oh, this looks so cool. I can't wait to like get crazy at this. And that feeling never leaves.
So at what point, I mean, were you playing others around the time of this release? And like, were you like juggling like a few different fighting games, or like, how do you commit to like playing? Because I'm assuming like you've taken this to like you played like in tournaments and obviously like traveling around like places. Was this an era at which you were like actually getting like hyper competitive with it?
Yeah, this was so across the 2010s would have been my most, well, for obvious reasons, it kind of ended at 2020, but you know, the 2010s were my most active times. And this was a game that did end up having to be juggled with my other favorite and most competitive fighting game, which is Guilty Gear Xrd. So I kind of had to do double duty on like, I got to get good at Xrd and I got to get good at Undernight. And so there would be times where like one game is getting a little more priority than the other. But the reason I picked Undernight, and I think the reason it sticks out with me, is like, I've been playing Xrd for a little longer than Undernight, but I have always been much better competitively at Undernight. Xrd, I can't get past the point of being as good as I am that I could be in Undernight. Undernight has always come so naturally to me almost. And I've always felt like I could exceed my own thoughts of where I should be in that game and just like achieve better results, achieve better placements, win smaller tournaments. And you know, even as recently as like 2 days ago, I beat someone in my state. You know, I didn't beat him in the set, but I took a game off of him, and that's like the second time I've ever taken a game off this guy. So like, I'm still getting better at this thing all these years later.
Interesting. So I mean, you mentioned obviously with Undernight, this is the one that like your skill like was obviously its highest, essentially, like against your competition. So like, what are some of the like, I mean, like tournaments like you've played in, like what are like some of like your favorite kind of like highlights or like placements and like rankings, like tell us like a little bit of that that side of it. I mean, because like the competitive, I mean, we mentioned it at the start of it, but it's like a sport. I mean, obviously you're continuously like playing it every day, and so you're investing hours and hours, but you do that so that you can compete. And so, yeah, I mean, like what was the peak you think you got here in this game? And, yeah, what were some of those results?
So my best year was 2019. And that would have been like the year that I was probably considered an actual threat in the game. Like, I wasn't just, someone who would be good, but like, you know, I'd lose to all the best people. That was the one year where I was like, hey, even if you're really good at this game and you come up against me, like there's probably going to be a scrap to get past me. I was actually quite good, because that was the year that I went to Frosty Faustings, which is a really big tournament in Chicago. And I placed 17th out of, I'm not entirely sure how many, but the 17th is like crazy good. I could probably pull up that number as I tell the rest of the other stories. But so Frosty Faustin, getting 17th was phenomenal, because like a lot of these games, they have like certain cutoff points for what is considered like your better placements. Like everything's like, you want to make top eight. Like the bracket's always going to cut down in a way that like you want to make top eight. And me being one placement away from top 16 is like, oh my God, I never thought I could ever get there in my life. But I beat some really good people on the way. Some of those were immortalized on like the stage recording. Like I had to go up on stage and I had to be broadcasted, and I still beat people who I would say are better than me, but I won that day. And that one's always going to hold very, very highly for me, probably the highest. And then later that year, I went to Evo, which, you know, most people at this point know what Evo is, because that's the big fighting game tournament. That's like the big worldwide fighting game tournament that happens every year. Mm-hmm. And so Evo 2019, that was the single largest, it was the single largest Undernight bracket that there ever has been. there were 1,100 people in that bracket, and I placed 96th.
Wow. 1,100 people. Jeez, how? I mean, that's done over the span of, you know, days, I assume?
No, you can run. I mean, it's a really big, tournament in Las Vegas. So they got the floor, the square footage to run that in like less than a day. Wow. I've run some big tournaments, nothing as big as Evo, obviously, but like I understand the logistics on like, oh yeah, this is how you make this happen. And I just looked it up. Frosty Fostings 2019. I got 17th out of 177 people.
So that's top 10%.
Yeah, I did pretty damn well for myself on that one. So that is the year that where like everything felt like it was worth it, so to speak. Like all the practice and all the grinding and all the going to other events and doing nowhere near as well. I didn't know that a gigantic, you know, global catastrophe was 1 year later. But I felt like at the end of 2019, I was like, okay, that's the year I can hang my hat on. Like, it was all worth it for that year.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That's obviously like placing that high. Is there, if you had to put a number on the amount of hours, like, I mean, I guess leading up to like a tournament, like how much do you think you were playing on a given day to kind of like prep and prepare and kind of get yourself like staying like, you know, ready essentially?
I don't know how to answer that because I don't think practice for these things can be quantified that way. I know sometimes I would like go online and I would grind for, you know, 2 to 4 hours maybe if I had the chance. But a lot of it is, in a sense, fighting games are like muscles. You have to train them and then you have to let them recover. You need to take breaks to let all the things that you are practicing actually mentally set in your brain. And then you come back and you go, oh my God, this is easy now. This just, I don't have to think about it the way I used to. But I would say that like across all the amount of times I've played Undernight, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. I probably has not broken 1,000 hours total, but like maybe it has. It's just impossible to track it because Steam only says so many things or so many hours for this one version. It doesn't know about the hundreds of hours across multiple PS4s across multiple states.
Yeah. So with this game, it's not one that I'm like I said, personally familiar with. Like mechanically, is there like a fighting game that you feel it is similar to? Like, would you describe it like it's close in spirit to like another type of game out there, or how would you describe kind of like what makes this one unique, I guess, compared to others out there?
The thing with Undernight is that it is very much on its own island. It kind of superficially feels like Melty Blood, which makes sense because French Bread, the company, made Melty Blood. So there's some kind of like surface level similarities to that game. But the way Undernight is mechanically structured really puts it in a league of its own because of how the mechanics prioritize defense. Like the big thing with Undernight is that someone who is like holding down back and blocking, they are actually gaining a secondary mechanic or a meter called grid when that happens. And in a lot of games, putting the pressure on someone who's blocking is actually could chip them out if they're guard. They could have a guard bar that could shatter if they keep holding that pressure. And Undernight, it's like, dude, if you want to sit here and just like mash buttons in my face, I'll block it all day long because I actually get advantage from that. And there's not a whole lot of games that work defense that way. So it ends up being a very strange but enjoyable mix of I want to pressure my opponents when they're blocking, but I cannot do so blindly lest I give them the advantage and they can turn the tables on me.
Hmm. That sounds interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, I guess, you know, when new fighting games come out, they are trying to find like that unique mechanic or that unique like system or gimmick that helps them stand out. So I guess it makes sense for this to, you know, try and stand on its own, but it's already kind of it's got a unique the development history anyway with the developer, like as being something kind of already kind of the flip side to the mainstream type of thing. So that's cool. So yeah, that being said, tell us a little bit more about the game from your taste. Like who's your go-to character? Like, do you have like a rotating cast, or are you like all in on like a handful of folks?
I am all in on the character Merkava. I have not played another character, nor will I ever. since day one, I have picked Merkava and never looked back. He is like in a game of mostly anime boys and girls, he is a like long and gangly space chicken looking thing. So he's like the resident like alien of the cast. And his arms and legs are exceptionally long, and he stands like 10 feet tall. And I've never felt so tied to a character the way I feel tied to Merkava. It feels like breathing just playing that character. Everything I want to do, he does so effortlessly. I don't have to think about it. The way he structures his mix-ups on the opponent is kind of like freeform jazz. You just want to do it and just be like, some characters, when you do mix-ups, there's like a very hard-coded structure to it. Like, you do this, 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 and that sets up a 50-50 mix-up. You know, I need you to guess left or right. No. Merkava is very loosey-goosey with the way he sets things up. So there's kind of like the idea that you can play Merkava smart, and there are some people who play him smart. There's a Merkava player named Klim who found great success playing him smart. But most Merkava players will just play him like a fucking idiot. Like, you play Merkava with your heart, you don't play Merkava with your brain.
Yeah, this game sounds interesting. Obviously, being competitive, like, you're going out and playing like against other human players and everything. Does the game have any other modes that you may be like one and done, or like tried and invested some time in, or were you out of the gate just playing this game competitively and that's it?
Just out of the gate competitively. Never touched story mode, never touched anything. It's training mode, it's versus mode, and it's online net play. That's it. That's what I come to the game for, and I don't really need anything else.
And then, so yeah, I was going to ask, and you've kind of touched on it a little bit already, but like, are you still playing this? Are you still like essentially trying to be, you know, competitive on your terms with it then post 2020?
Yep. You know, weekly local tournament was just 2 days ago, and got third at the very least out of, you know, maybe 9 people. So I still got some of it. The people who beat me kind of put the boots to me. I still got ways to go to, like, I gotta figure it out. I can still figure it out. I'm not like, I can't beat these people. That's the nice thing, is like, I'm at the point where I don't think there is someone in my state that I can't beat. I just have to learn how to beat them still. So I still feel competitive with this game. I will put it this way, like, I did go to Combo Breaker last year, which is the probably the third biggest tournament in the nation. It's the one in Chicago on Memorial Day weekend. I've gone to that. I've been to like every single Combo Breaker. It's my favorite tournament. And I went there with the expressed purpose of, you know, I'm going to make it out of the pool segments of Exerd, you know, that first cut to like top, you know, you want to get to like top 128 or top 48, depending on the size of the bracket. Well, they have all these individual pools, they call them, of like 16 people, and 2 to 3 people will get out of each pool. So it's like the first big culling of the bracket. It is called getting out of pools. And I put so much time and effort into Exerd. I was like, this is the year I'm gonna make it out of pools. And I did not make it out of pools. I got like one fight before making it out, and I lost that. And I was like, man, motherfucker, ah, I spent so much time practicing that. And so I walk over to Undernight and I haven't practiced and I get out of pools. That's just like, I win my way out. I'm like, God damn it. I'm not even practicing this game and I'm even better here. I spent all my effort on Exert. I come over to Undernight. I still win. I still get out of pools. So it's, that game has just always felt like water to me. I don't know how else to describe it.
That's fun. I mean, that's cool to hear. I mean, obviously you're a fan of the game. I mean, that you wouldn't be if you weren't sticking with it. What would it take for you to invest in another game? Like, what would it take for there to be another game to kind of like take the spot of this one for you? Or do you envision yourself kind of like still playing this because of your skill level at it?
I have kind of said that, like, I will probably play Exert and Undernight until I die, more or less. Like, these are the games that I've put the most amount of time into. I will always take them serious to some degree. And from there, it just becomes like, hey, what's the other game I want to have an interest in and will find enjoyment in playing? And the chances are that the new Garo might do that. Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves. I am so unbelievably excited for that game because these are the two games that I play the most or have played the most consistently. But I will gladly take sabbaticals from them to go be competitive in something else. Like, I tried to go to tournaments for like King of Fighters 14 for a while. I, you know, tried to do some Street Fighter 6 for a minute. Eventually I fall off those games when I feel like I'm not really mixing with them as well as I want to, but I'll always be down to try anything if it interests me. And right now, City of the Wolves is the one where I'm like, okay, clear the schedule. I'm going to maybe put some things on the back burner because this feels like this could be another really, really, really good game for me.
Interesting. Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, that does it. That answers the question. We did the thing and that kind of completes the episode for us. Yeah, it's only happened one other time where I didn't feel as like well versed in the game we spoke about. So I mean, this did turn into a little bit more interview mode than maybe discussing the game and everything, but it sounds really interesting. I've gotten the fighting game itch quite a few times. I primarily, like, growing up, I was, you know, obviously playing it for, like, you know, single player or just against friends or things like that. There's a few times there that I did get, like, you know, like, hey, what if I did stick this out? What if I did ride this out? And it's always just curious to see, like, it's not always just because it's the best or the most popular thing. There's just something that calls to you on a personal level sometimes that gets you associated with it and gets you attached to it. And then you just kind of commit to it and everything. So it sounds like clearly you found a few for you, and I wish you luck in that. And obviously we'll stay in contact. I'd be curious to know, next tournament that goes on, make sure I'm cheering you on and everything. But yeah, thanks for participating in the episode. Anything you want to plug or bring up before we wrap this?
I'll just put some plugs in real quick. As I mentioned, I'm a writer for supercombo.gg. That is the big fighting game. It's kind of like the fighting game library of Alexandria. It used to be what was known as sureyoucan.com, which was like the main fighting game forum back in the day that forums were a thing. And now supercombo.gg lives on as the next evolution of that. So I've done some work on a couple of games that for the wiki that Super Combo has, like Advanced Variable Geo 2. I put a lot of time into revamping that wiki. Toy Fighter is not on that wiki. It's on a different one. I think that's the main one I put in there. I've done a number of games wiki works, but my writing is also on supercombo.gg. As I mentioned, my main thing is that I do YouTube videos at youtube.com/IDOLISMJ. Just like the letter, not my full name, J-A-Y, just the letter. And those, some of them are fighting game related, but it's primarily like topic-based videos and a large exploration of the Final Fantasy series.
Right. I will have to check that out. I thought I actually had subscribed the other day, but I'll make sure I'm a sub on there for you.
Thank you.
Fun. We will. I will put the links to those things in the show notes below as well. But thank you so much for getting into the orbit of pixels and polygons as well now. And definitely, we will have you on future episodes. And I look forward to chatting again. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you. It was a blast to do this.